All right, let's start. If you had an opportunity to know your entire future, wouldn't that be cool? Forget the crystal ball, right? If you get to have an entire, what is that? Okay, we are having fun with that, aren't we? If you get to know entire future from this day forward, would you take that opportunity? Only your future. You cannot change it, but you just get to know. Yeah. Some people like to do it, but pretty soon they're going to be either depressed, overly excited, and pretty soon, after that, they might be disappointed. If I had an opportunity to know entire future from this day forward, I would just pass on. But Jesus, being God himself, he knew exactly what would happen to the T. He knew. Because he's God. Yet, he followed along everything that God planned, Father God planned for him. He knew that he would be arrested, and he would be arrested with a false charge. He would be ridiculed, punched, spit on, and then tortured with excruciating pain, and then he would get humiliated and hung on the cross. If that's not bad enough, he knew that he will be separated from perfect harmony with God the Father. Because he will take all of our sins, that means your hidden sin, my hidden sin, everybody's sin will be literally funneled down to on himself, and he become sinner. And he will be separated. He did all of that. He also knew what would come out of that. Because of his atoning sacrifice, he knew that he will be able to save mankind. Following someone else's will, see, Jesus didn't insist his will. Jesus wanted Father's will. Following someone else's will is not something we like to do by nature. Would you agree? But it should make all the difference in the world when there's someone else is God. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to set an example for us how we can follow God's will, not our will. Let's stop and pray. Father, we are selfish people. We are arrogant people. We want what we want most of the time. No, rather, all the time. You are teaching us to be more like Jesus, who yielded himself to your will to glorify you. Father, we are asking you to open our heart that we may be more like him. And yielding ourselves, surrendering ourselves, so that you alone receive glory. Father, we are asking your will be done in our lives. And we also pray that President Trump will yield himself to you, and not only him, but also all the leaders in this country. Father, we pray for protection on our troops and our law enforcement personnel in the fire. Father, we are asking you to, Holy Spirit, be upon us to understand your truth and anoint us, and especially the one who speaks. Amen. Chapter 18 of John, verse 1. When Jesus had spoken this word, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Stop there, please. En route to the Garden of Gethsemane. Oh, great. Good. It shows up. How that happened? I don't know if you can see it. See the Kidron Valley? See the Kidron Valley? It's, we are looking and you are on the Mount Olive. You're looking down and there's a Kidron Valley running from the north to south. And west of the Kidron Valley, you see the Temple Mount and in Jerusalem. And you may, I don't know if you can see a bunch of white boxes in the front. Can you see the white boxes in the front? That's a tomb. It's a casket. And, I don't know why those people, they don't put it in the ground. They just put it in the casket, and white casket, leave it on the ground. That's their custom. Mostly Muslims. Anyway, Jesus often went there to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. They went there often. They have to pass through the Kidron Valley. Now, can you go back to that slide, please? From the Temple Mount, there's a channel coming down to the Kidron Valley. There's a brook known as the Brook Kidron. Temple Mount, when they sacrifice animals, all the blood would come down. According to... Oh, I'm running ahead of myself. So just put that in back of your mind. There's a channel coming down from, water channel, coming from the Temple Mount to the Kidron Brook. Jesus chose the Garden of Gethsemane, also known as the Olive Garden. You didn't get it? Okay, never mind. Went over. Garden of Gethsemane is a field with, it's a kind of olive tree orchard, filled with the olive trees. Some of these trees, you can go way back to almost to the time of Jesus. Really, really old and big. And they still bring forth the fruit. That is the place they were arrested by the Jewish religious leaders and the temple soldiers. If he was arrested within the temple, within the city of Jerusalem, because he's still popular, Jesus knew that there will be a massive riot to protect him by the people. So he purposely pulled himself out of the city. At the same time, he was fulfilling prophecy. And all of that changed from protection of Jesus Christ to the crucify him. That changed within the 7 to 8 hours from this point. Besides, the betrayer, Judas, knew where Jesus would go. Jesus did not want any of the people in Jerusalem to be hurt or get killed with the riot. So that's the reason why he pulled himself away from Jerusalem to the Garden of Gethsemane. According to Jewish historian Josephus, he said, in the day of Jesus, there are about 250,000 lambs would be slaughtered in the temple in the preparation for the Passover. Remember what I said? There's a channel that comes from the Temple Mount. All that blood spilled onto the ground to the drain, will come down through the channel into the Kidron Valley. In other words, the Kidron Brook will be literally filled with blood of the lamb. And as Jesus and his disciples were crossing the Kidron Valley, unmistakable blood smell of the sacrificed animal from the brook was a vivid reminder of himself and of his soon coming sacrificial death as the perfect Lamb of God. Am I making sense? The Brook Kidron had a special historical significance that portrayed that had happened almost 1,000 years earlier. You may remember King David. His son Absalom revolted against him. King David crossed the Kidron when he was rejected by his people and betrayed by his own son Absalom and his counselor Ahithophel in 2 Samuel chapter 15. Jesus, the son of David, also was rejected by his people and betrayed by his own disciple Judas. At the end of Absalom's revolt, the counselor Ahithophel realized that David is going to win against them. So he hanged himself. At the end of his betrayal, Judas realized that he betrayed innocent blood. Guess what he did? He hanged himself as well. Now, turn your Bible to the Mark chapter 14, please. Verse 32. Then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took Peter, James, and John with him. And he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch." When most of people were about to experience their great suffering, they want someone to pray with them. Isn't that true? When you go through a difficult time, you pick up the phone, you call your brothers and sisters in Christ and ask, or call church prayer line and ask us to pray with me. Nothing wrong with that. We are glad to pray. You know, like many of you, I sat on the chair inside of the hospital room waiting for doctors to come with this report. And being a perfectly human being, Jesus knew what's going to happen. He wants some companionship. As he faced the cross, and he selected Peter, James, and John. These are the same men who accompanied him when he went to the son of Jairus, the home of Jairus, and also the Mount of Transfiguration. The word Gethsemane means oil press. Oil press. In an oil press, olives were crushed and broken and ground up so that oil might be produced. Scripturally, oil symbolizes the Holy Spirit. It is not coincidental that it is the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus felt the crushing heavy burden on himself and for what is about to happen to him. I see two reasons for his troubled and deeply distressed emotion. Reason number one. Jesus knew. Okay, sometimes I don't see it there. Jesus knew what he was facing at the cross. He would face utter isolation from his own loving Father in heaven. No wonder he cried out, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," as I said. My God, why have you forsaken me?" The reason why his Father forsook him is because he's a holy God and his Son is filthy sinner. How come he's a filthy sinner? He took our sins. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he made him who knew no sin became a sinner for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Reason number two. As a human, Jesus knew what kind of torture and humiliating execution he would face. It was so excruciating process. He sweat and his gland was opened up, and also not only that, he actually started to bleed. And Dr. Luke talks about that. And it's hard for us to think about that kind of prayer. I also find a four interesting comparison between the Garden of Gethsemane and the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, man's relationship with the Father was broken because of disobedience to Adam. In the Garden of Gethsemane, man's relationship with the Father was restored through the perfect obedience of Jesus. In the Garden of Eden, the first Adam tried to hide from God. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the last Adam bear his soul to God the Father. In the Garden of Eden, a sword of angels was pulled out and the man was driven out. In the Garden of Gethsemane, a sword of man was put away and the man's ear was healed. In the Garden of Eden, a decision was made that resulted in a damnation of the rest of the mankind. In the Garden of Gethsemane, a decision was made that it resulted in the salvation of the rest of the mankind. All right, go down to verse 35, please. He, Jesus, went a little farther, fell on the ground, and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Was Jesus chickening out because he's so scared about what's going to happen to him? No. It is not the death that he dreads. Rather, the hour of the cross. The moment when the sin was to be put on him, he made a sinner. Because of that, he would be isolated from the Father. The book of Hebrews explains it a whole lot better. Go to book of Hebrews chapter 5, please. Right after book of Philemon and right before James. Chapter 5, verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up the prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from the death, and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became author of the eternal salvation to all who obey him. You see, the struggle of the cross was won at the Garden of Gethsemane. And you may say, how that works? Because the struggle at the Gethsemane, the place of crushing, has an important place in the fulfilling of God's plan of redemption. If Jesus failed here, he would have failed at the cross. What if Jesus said, I know this is what you really is, but I'm not going to go through that thing. Then none of us would be saved, would we? In the Old Testament, the cup is a powerful picture of the wrath and judgment of God. Back to verse 36, please. Jesus asked the Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. In other words, Jesus was asking if there is any possible way for people can be saved other than my atoning sacrifice, let it be. Can it be done? But he knew then it cannot be done. So Jesus said, I'll take the cup. This prayer of Jesus eliminates any other way of salvation. Are you with me on that? If there is any other way, his death was not necessary. You see, the word of faith teachers criticize such a prayer in the mouth of a Christian and saying it is a prayer of the lacking faith. Some they even have audacity to say that we shouldn't ask for God's will. You should simply tell God what you want. There's an old Christian song, tell God what you want. And I remember that we were singing, we used to attend the charismatic church. We're singing that thing almost like a mantra over and over and over, almost like hypnotizing. God is not your lackey. You with me? He's not your lackey, so you ring the bell, and he comes to you and says, what do you want? Anything you say. You know, if that's the case, Jesus was wrong. Instead of saying, not my will, he said, your will. I can confidently say that they are the ones who have a wrong theology. God is not a, listen please, God is not a respecter of a person that he should obey us. To pray, not what I will, but your will, is a prayer of a complete faith and trust in God. Three times he prayed about the matter, and each time he yielded to the Father's will in a loving surrender. Jesus displayed a complete obedience to his Father in heaven. We need to remember that God's will is always good. Let me ask you, is God always good? Is his will always good? Should we impose our will over his? Then why do we insist our will? As you guys know, I have a diabetes. They said I have a high cholesterol. I look somewhat decent outside, but I'm inside and it's not exactly up to par. I ask God to take away the diabetes. He doesn't. Something I deal with. Raindrops on the good people's head as well as... When we go through difficult time, that's how we learn. We need to remember that God's will is always good. It's not seems like at that time, his plan for us is always good. However, he doesn't give us a detailed blueprint. Did you notice that? Just barely enough, take a step. Usually God reveals his will to us in a bit and pieces. He sees the big picture while we just see it. What's in front of us immediately. 1 Peter chapter 3, please. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. If you've been a father of Joseph, Jacob, in the book of Genesis, you sure would like to, like all the other parents, you like to protect your son. But somehow God arranged Joseph to be sold as a slave to the Potiphar, captain of the Pharaoh. And then he got the false rap charge and stuck in the joint for it, not just overnight. 2 years, more than 2 years, he's been in prison. And then cupbearer of the Pharaoh said, I will remember you if my dream comes true. He was restored and he completely forgot for how long? Another 2 years. Almost 10 years Joseph has been sold when he was 17. Until 27, he was a slave, he was a convict. And overnight, from rag to riches, he became a prime minister. No one was higher than Joseph in Egypt other than Pharaoh. You could not make that kind of thing. Even the Hollywood could not think about that kind of thing. God did. By becoming the prime minister, he was able to save his family, and not only save his family, whole nation of Israel. If he had been a mother of Moses in the book of Exodus, how your heart would have been broken. As you finish weaning the baby and you have to take that child to the palace of Pharaoh and give up the child, never to see him again. The baby Moses had to go into Pharaoh's court. And he was raised as the leader of the Egypt, learning all the things, and had to be come down to the place where he had to forced out from the court of Pharaoh to the Midian desert where there's nothing. How about being a mother of Jesus. You raised that child like any mother would raise that child. And now all of a sudden, 33 years later, you're standing at the foot of the cross, seeing your son naked, bleeding. He hasn't done one thing wrong to anyone. Now they're killed. And you would ask, Lord, why did you let this happen? But what if Jesus didn't die on the cross? What if he didn't yield, he didn't surrender his will to the Father? When you look at the will of God in progress, it may not make a sense to you. But you must believe that God knows what he's doing. His will is good. Can you say it with me? His will is good. Until he finished, we don't know. But here's a promise. He who started a good work in you will be what? Will be what? Faithful to. Billy Graham once said, the will of God will not take us where the grace of God cannot sustain us. That is so good. Whatever situation you are in, by God's will, he is with you and he will guide you with his grace. Just put your mind at ease. Let me say this. The Lord is more than willing to guide you than you want to be guided by him. Go down to the verse 37, please. Then he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? If you have a King James Version, could you not tarry 1 hour? I like that. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, he went away and prayed and spoke the same word. Verse 40. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. Then he came and the third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hand of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Stop. Long ago, when our daughter Michelle was about to be born, my wife was in labor for several hours. I don't know. It was throughout the night. I was a really compassionate guy. I was keep on falling asleep. She should have thrown the bedpan on my head. I can relate with this guy. Just keep on falling asleep. It is easy for us to think that disciples of Jesus were a bunch of the lofty saint, spiritual giant, with a glowing halo behind their head. And always talk nice, and you know, like some of the stained glass picture image, they always walk around like this. And heavy theologies. As I study for each sermon, I study a long time. I get to read single space of tiny letters, Bible commentaries, and a lot of things. I fall asleep sometimes. So a lot of times, you see me standing reading. That's the only way I can stay awake for a length of time. And when they're supposed to watch and pray, they fell asleep. They were having a cozy fellowship with the Sandman. At this moment, great agony Jesus was going through. He was all alone. His disciple gave him no support at all. Stop there for a moment. When you are asked by someone, would you please pray with me for this? And if you say, I will, you better pray. Otherwise, you become a liar. Do you understand? If you're not going to pray, just flat out say, no, I'm not going to pray for you because I'm going to forget. Do you know what I usually do? When somebody asks me to pray, I said, let's pray on the spot. By doing so, at least you remember you're praying for that person. And another thing that I do is I write it down so that I can remember to pray for them. Jesus took those three guys so they can pray with them, but Jesus knew they're going to fall asleep anyway. Jesus was all alone. But he didn't get irritated. He didn't condemn them. When we are not in the will of God, when we do something dumb thing, he doesn't get irritated with us, by us, or condemn us. Rather, he wants us, when we repent, he wants us to learn from that mistake, from that sin, and not to make the same sin again. Three times Jesus prayed. Three times Jesus checked to see if his disciples would stand by him in prayer and pray for their own strength in the coming trials. They were asleep at each time. How often does Jesus check on us and find us asleep spiritually? A lot of times our mind is checked out. Am I correct? Through prayers and companionship, we must stand beside each other in time of need. Jesus prayed for the same thing three times. Listen, guys, listen up. This shows a very important thing. There are some hyper-spiritual people tell you, if you pray more than once, it shows a lack of faith. Show me one place. Jesus prayed for three times. Apostle Paul prayed how many times for his thorn in the flesh? Three times. And Jesus said, keep on knocking, keep on asking, keep on seeking. Didn't he? Keep on means continuing. Jesus shows us that repeated prayer is a complete consistent with a steadfast faith. Asking for God's will is absolutely okay. Two applications. Number one, let's not hesitate to ask for God's will in our lives and decisions we have to make. After all, he knows all better than all of us, right? He will not give us anything bad that will destroy us. Am I correct? And if you wonder, in case I'm not speaking the truth, go to Jeremiah chapter 29, please. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Some of you guys thought about closing your Bible, huh? For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and what? Exactly. Second application. Whatever situation you are in, by his will, he is with you and will guide you with his grace. Just put your mind at ease, and let me say this, the Lord is more than willing to guide you than you want to be guided by him. Psalm 32 says, I love this portion. Psalm 32, I believe it's verse 7. If you are so close to God through the daily devotion and prayer each day, you get to know him. When your husband and wife live together long, they don't have to actually say things. Just looking at each other, they know what to say. And they know what the other person wants. Wouldn't you like to be guided by God's eyes instead of being picked up by ears like when you were a kid? Remember when you were a kid, you didn't listen to mom and dad, so your mom and especially dad picked you up by the ears and walked you there? Isn't it better for you to be guided by his eyes instead of a stubborn mule had to be whipped? Be guided by his will. Amen? Let's stand up and pray. We sure